The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. With available H-Track all-wheel drive so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. You can earn 4 times points on your top 2 eligible spending categories every month, like transit, U.S. restaurants, and gas stations. That's the powerful backing of American Express. 4 times points on up to $150,000 in purchases per year. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
What's good, everybody? Welcome in to the Early Wedge, part of the Early Edge universe. Every single Tuesday, we are live at 3 p.m. Eastern time. Now, there's just 2 weeks left in the regular season on the PGA Tour, which means we are down to just 5 shows remaining before we hand it over to the NFL at the end of August and we get set for the NFL season. But as you know, every single week we've been absolutely killing it with two of my absolute very best. Let's bring in the stars of the show. After I say this, I could not be more excited to do this show this week. Sometimes there's a little bit of a layoff, gentlemen, when you come back from the last major of the year. Not here. Patrick McDonald is here. Cian Najat is here. Quickly, let's go ahead and take a look at the up-to-the-minute odds, courtesy of our good friends at Caesars, the betting favorite. There is nobody this week that is south of plus 1,000. That's nice. Cam Young playing this week. A little surprising, but maybe not to some. Tony Finau, he's our defending champion. Hideki's in the field this week. Justin Thomas is in the field this week. So let's start. Storylines that could affect the betting lines. And Patrick McDonald, let's start with you. This is really the push. When you come back from the Open Championship, just 2 weeks remaining to the playoffs. How are you looking at these final 2 weeks?
I'm looking at the bubble, Coach. How can you not? And obviously the big name on the bubble right now is Justin Thomas, 15-time PGA Tour winner, 75th outside the top 70. This year, unlike the last, forever since the FedEx Cup began, it was top 125. They trimmed the fat. It's top 70 this time around. But not even just Justin Thomas. You have someone like a Cam Davis, a PGA Tour winner, who's 77th. A young star like Austin Eckrode is barely inside at 65th. Keith Mitchell is just inside as well. So not just the stars, but a lot of these guys are really playing for a lot. Starts for next year in the elevated events, potentially making a playoff run and getting into the tour championship, which brings in major championship exemptions as well. So like you said, Coach, once I got back here stateside, the stakes were risen.
You just never know when decisions are made, if they're going to be good or they're going to be bad. This one, I think, was fantastic because there's urgency now, 2 weeks remaining. Speaking of decisions, interesting. Ben in the chat says, how we doing, y'all? Excited to be back on the Early Wedge grind and watching live after a few weeks away for the wedding and the honeymoon. Interesting decision there, Ben. Getting married right before the NFL season. Let me know how that works out for you come January. Cian Najat, speaking of the push for the playoffs, who are you targeting this week? Because there's some big names that normally don't play this week, and they're being forced to. Talk to me.
Credit to Ben. At least he didn't get married during NFL season.
That's true.
So here's the thing. There are some guys that are comfortably within the FedEx Cup point standings inside the top 70, but there's others that are kind of teetering. But I am just really curious about the top echelon of this tournament. Like, I do think they need to sort of salvage their season with a strong stretch run. I'm talking to you, Tony Finau, Sung J M, Hideki Matsuyama, of course, Cameron Young, who's starting to maybe emerge. Justin Thomas is in that conversation. I'm looking to see which one of those guys really salvages their season with a top 5 here or an outright here, because I think this would be the field for like a Tony Finau, like he did last year, to get himself a signature win going toward the FedEx Cup playoffs.
And guess what, Cia? Part of the reason, it's not just about the FedEx, right? It's about qualifying for the Ryder Cup. I've been seeing stories all over the place. And a guy like JT, he's 14th. He wants to be inside that top six. So many different reasons for players to play. But thank you, Counselor, very much. A little added bonus for all of you at home. Guess who's in the chat as we speak? The great Steve Scott. He is there. Any questions for him? You guys know how good he is. Put him in there. He will answer them in real time. He's already started doing that. All right. So let's get to our board. And you guys know, by the way, Sia, did you do anything fantasy-wise last week that maybe some people didn't know about that you'd like to tell them about perhaps?
Well, it's certainly a professional segue into our next segment, but I'll tell you, I finished in second place in the 50K long drive for $3,000. So that was pretty cool. And for the record, the core three DFS plays that I had on this very show last week, it was Brian Harman, it was Sepp Strzok, and it was Wyndham Clark. Those were the three guys I had on the show. Those were the three guys I had in that lineup. It was my biggest lineup. It was my main lineup, and it did extremely well. So hopefully others got a little bit of that action too. And I actually saw some Twitter buzz where some people did in fact have that and won a lot of money.
Hashtag it pays to watch live. Hashtag educate and entertain and cash at the pay window. So with all that being said, maybe this week you will tail. So Counselor, let me come right back to you. It's time to talk DFS. It's fantasy and it's very, very popular. You're up.
Yeah, so first of all, we're going to go back to a familiar name here in the fantasy department. Last week, I had Sepp Strzokka. He was 7K last week. Well, he's a little bit pricier now. He's 9,500. I still love him. Listen, this is a different field, right? It makes sense that he's priced up for a couple different reasons. People are finally starting to catch on that this guy is legit, but more importantly, it is a watered down field, so it makes sense for him to be in the 9K range. I like him. I like him as an outright spoiler alert. I think he has the game to close on Sunday. We've seen that at the John Deere Classic. We saw it at the Open Championship last week. Still like him at 9,500. Lucas Glover, I would really put him in the mold, the same mold I had Brian Harman in last week when I was talking about three DFS players. I don't think people are really truly recognizing where Lucas Glover is. His game is back, and I should say it's back with an added bonus. The putter is really starting to cooperate now that he's switched that up. So I like Lucas Glover at 8,200, and then Doug Gim at 7,400. He's a guy that I'll admit could be hit or miss here, but I really like what I'm seeing with respect to how he fits on this course. He's going to keep it in the fairway. He's going to avoid the hazards. He's very accurate. Greens in regulation are best in the field last 24 rounds. The putter has been an issue for him, but over the last four tournaments, he's actually gaining with the putter. And this is a course where Team No Putt can potentially survive. So I think it sets up really, really well for Doug Gim. Finally, Sung J.M., I'm going to fade him just because he hasn't popped enough. He's making cuts. He's top 15-ing tournaments, top 20-ing, and he should do better here than that because it's a watered-down field. But at 10,300, I haven't seen enough from Sung J.M. to justify the idea that he's actually going to win a tournament. If he's not going to win, I don't want to pay 10,300 for him.
And here's the thing. Here's what I call lookbackers. When you're a lookbacker, when you just go back to the last year's leaderboard, you go, oh, that guy, you're a lookbacker. Now, if you just do that, Sanjay was a runner-up here a year ago, but you would not have the nuggets and the stats that Sia just gave you about his recent form, which matters. Don't be a lookbacker. All right, Patrick, in the chat, Steve Scott was just asked a question about Ryan Fox. Now, would we be crazy like a Fox to think maybe this week could be a good week for him? I think not, according to you.
Yeah, I love Ryan Fox this week at $7,600. The one bugaboo I do have from him is his driving accuracy, and TPC Twin Cities is riddled with trouble. But outside of that, he has been fantastic. He's fourth in total strokes gained over the last 3 months. 10th in tee to green, 16th approach, 5th around the green, and top 30 putting. He really does not have a hole in his game if he can avoid the water. He has 7 straight made cuts. 5 of those have been for top 30s as well. So I do love Ryan Fox. And I love Aaron Rye at 7,900. He missed Scott at the Scottish Open, was unable to qualify for the Open. But before that, T3 in Canada, T24 in Connecticut, T9 in Detroit. He is the most accurate driver of the golf ball in this field over the last 3 months. 5th from tee to green, 6th in approach. Like Sia said, Team No Putt has done well around these parts. Rye is certainly a member of that crew, but if he has a modest improvement, I think it will go a very long way. Then I'm going to go with Ben Griffin at $7,100. He missed the cut at the Open by a single stroke. Approach play is trending in the right direction. Putting looks decent, but what I like the most about him is he really has a knack for avoiding the big numbers. He's great in bogey avoidance, great in double bogey avoidance as well. So he puts himself in play a ton. And based on his approach play and his putting, I think it could be a nice spike week for him at 7,100. And similar to Sion Sungjae, Tony Finau at 10-6, it's, you know, show me something. Since that win at the Mexico Open, he's been pretty bad. 3 missed cuts in his last 7 starts, 0 top 20 finishes. He didn't sound too confident in his press conference today, so I'm A-okay not playing the defending champ.
Yeah, he kind of focused on the Ryder Cup, I thought, a little bit more than this particular event, but maybe that's just me. By the way, quick question, and I'll take it to Patrick. Zach says, do you guys like Grillo at 9,700 for DFS?
Ooh. I might have like some small exposure to him. And look, I'm not quite the player of Sia. I'm mostly single entry and double up type of guy. So maybe a couple lineups, but I figure he'll be pretty popular. I haven't looked at his ownership coming off that Open Championship.
Counselor, 2 out of 3, I believe, top 10s here at the 3M Open. Would you like Grillo? He's very popular.
Yeah, Patrick's being way too modest, first of all. Second of all, so Patrick is right. He is popular, but everybody that is 9,400 and above is teetering in that 15 to 20% range. So nobody's too popular in the 9K, in the upper 9K and 10K range. So you can play kind of whoever you want. I do like Grillo. I like his history. I like how the putter is trending. And obviously, he's a great course fit when you consider the ball striking, staying out of trouble. So yeah, in the 9K range, Straka is my favorite, but I would say Grillo is my second favorite in that 9K range on DraftKings.
And he's been playing great everywhere the last 4 to 6 weeks, played well at the Open Championship as well. Gentlemen, thank you very much. Now, I tell you all the time, and we'll get to our first round leaders where C is starting to flex his muscles a little bit, but I got to pay my people, and there's only one way to do that. Only one way. We're right here.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We're watching us live right now on Tuesday. Then I encourage you to download the CBS Sports app, put on CBS Sports HQ. We've got Early Edge crew members all over the board tonight, 6 o'clock hour, 8 o'clock hour. You don't want to miss any of them. Now, I mentioned Sia flexing his muscles. And, Patrick, we all know that Sia's got a little bit of an ego. I mean, who doesn't when you're at this level of sports betting? But when he literally says, boys, sit down, I'll take this entire section myself. Wow, that is next level confidence right there.
Yeah, it really is. He just told me, you know, sit back, take a load off.
I got you.
I'll take you to the promised land this week. So I will be sitting out the first round leader section and giving it to the man in yellow.
Alas, I am going to do the same. See you, Najat. For once, you get your wish. You get everything that you've ever wanted. Your own section of the show. You're up.
All right. Thank you so much. I've got 4 here. Wait for the long shot section at the end of the show because there'll be one extra one that I'm going to throw in. By the way, we hit this last week. I didn't do great in the head-to-head department for once. It was a struggle last week, but I made up for it because we got that Xander Schauffele first-round leader split there. So let's talk about Sepp Straka again. He goes off in the morning. This is a guy, traditionally, that we didn't want to play in DFS tournaments. We wanted to play him in showdown because for one round, he could pop. Well, that's still true. It just so happens he can pop for 4 rounds. I like him at 40-1 again, going off in the morning. All these guys go off in the morning. Lucas Glover, I just love him this week because he has confidence in his putter. 60-1 is a pretty great number for a guy who is a very good course fit and has the putter going as well. Taylor Pendrith, he's interesting to me. You know, we'll look at him maybe later on in the show as well. I think he could crash and burn, but I also think he has the upside to really dominate this course. He has a ton of length. The ball striking appears to be trending in a very good direction, and he's the type of guy where if he can find the form from early last year, then he is a guy that can absolutely win at this course, or at least spike for round one. And then Doug Ginn, we've already talked about him. I like everything about him in terms of how he rates out. Can he win the tournament? That's a little bit more questionable, but can he spike for a round, especially knowing that he's been good putting on this particular course? The answer to that is yes. 75-1 for Doug Ginn as a first-round leader. Again, I'll take that.
For some reason, Doug Ginn, even though he hasn't had the career yet that he's wanted, for some reason on Thursdays, he's right there more times than he's not. I love that last pick in addition to the others. DT, I see your question in the chat. We'll get to that question in the winner section. Now, Lori is also here. She says, let's keep the winning streak going this week and beyond. That's exactly, Lori, what we plan to do. And if you know, because you're here every single week and every single show, our bread and butter, how we keep those winning streaks going, that's right. Snake knows it. Head-to-head matchups. It's not the sexiest, but damn it, we sure do meet a lot at the pay window. I think I was 5-2 last week in my picks for head-to-head. So, Patrick McDonald, after you sat in our little chairs over here in the corner, we're now back in the game, baby. We're back in the game. Who do you like this week?
Yeah, it's about time. I think 5 minutes was too long for CIA's own section there. I mean, we get it, man. You hit first round leader bets. Okay, it's cool. But I'm going to be picking on Cam Davis a little bit this week. I know he has a nice history here, but he's missed four out of his last six cuts. He's pretty inaccurate off the tee. And I'm going to go with Aaron Rye at even money over him. Like I said in the DFS section, Aaron Rye checks all the boxes for me. And then Keith Mitchell, -110 over Justin Suh. Suh's been very, 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 very reliant on the putter. Tee to green just has not stacked up. Meanwhile, Keith Mitchell is just a elite driver of the golf ball. Iron play is beginning to tick back up as well. So I love him at -110. And then JJ Spahn, -120 over Eric Cole, the Iron Man. Sorry, Sung JM, take a seat. But Eric Cole is playing every which week on the PGA Tour, and he has flashed brilliance, but driving is a concern for me. He's around 100th, both in driving distance and driving accuracy. JJ Spahn, a quiet T10 finish there at the Barracuda, not the Open, and top 25 in terms of tee to green over the last 3 months. So I will take Spahn in that one.
All right. I like all three of those, and I like the analysis. Now, you guys know me. I'm a professional. I would never, ever, 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 ever. Why are you laughing, Sia?
I know where this is going.
I would never rub anything in. But I also want to involve the chat. And sometimes when the chat, right, I have to read it. I have to read it. Zach says, Coach didn't even mention the showdown he won in the head-to-head last week. Did I? Oh, no, that wasn't a showdown. That was a triple showdown. Well, Patrick, were you aware that I won a triple showdown last week over CM?
I'm just jazzed up. I finally got off the Scotty Scheffler bet, because I mean, I've been betting that one against you, Coach, and it's been hitting every week.
I know.
So you just picked the bad week.
Right. I want everything back from those three that I lost to you in one swell swoop. So again, see, I didn't bring it up. Let's be clear. I did not bring it up. I'm just trying to involve the chat. So with that being said, I wish I had the opportunity for Sia to get his money back this week, but I just don't see it happening, because I actually like most of your plays. I didn't say all. Most. Maybe I'll pick one out just to have a little sizzle with my steak. See ya, you're up.
All right. Let's go Keith Mitchell -110. I'm going to pretend that last little soliloquy never happened. Let's go with Keith Mitchell -110 over Justin Suh. So Justin Suh, you know, we always talk about him, not we, but the industry, kind of like, hey, he's really talented. And all of that might be true, but the ball striking has been really bad. I believe he's lost ball striking in five tournaments in a row, and he has been dominant with the putter. This guy is maybe the best putter on tour at this point. It is crazy, but I don't think you can rely on that type of game at TPC Twin Cities. It's just the type of thing where getting to the green is problematic if you are terrible off the tee and you're terrible on approach. So give me Keith Mitchell, whose game is actually trending up when it comes to ball striking. He was fifth here in 2021. The putter is kind of bad for Keith Mitchell, but I expect him to be at least decent in that department. And if he is, he will take care of this one very easily. The next one, Doug Ginn, -110 over Lee Hodges. I don't think we need to talk about that too much, because I've already talked about Doug Ginn. I will mention this, though. I like Lee Hodges from a DFS standpoint. I think he can be okay, but he's really outclassed by Doug Gim in my estimation. Lee Hodges is a boom or bust candidate. He's missed three of his last four cuts, but I will say this. His strokes gain metrics don't bear out that he's that bad. Like, he's actually been pretty good. A sneaky DFS play, in my opinion. Now we're going to two kind of matchups. I consider them matchups because of who was involved in them. Now, Sung Jae-im, I told you he was my fade in DFS. Well, that's true. But Sung Jae-im minus 115 in what amounts to a four ball over KH Lee, Sung Yul Noh, and SH Kim. Really like that because I think KH Lee, Sung Yul Noh, and SH Kim could all miss the cut. And I expect Sung Jae-im to probably top 20 this tournament. Finally, top South American. That one is top South Korean. This one is top South American. Emiliano Grillo, who we just said we all like quite a bit. Great course history, great course fit over Tano Goya, Augusto Nunez, and Nico Echevarria. I think this is a heads-up match. I think of these three, Tano Goya is the only one that will be competing with Emiliano Grillo. And again, all three of those guys can miss the cut. I don't expect that from Emiliano Grillo. So while this looks like a four ball or four people involved in both of these, I don't think that's the case at all. I think this is maybe like a heads-up matchup at best with two elite guys in this field.
Such a smart way to go about it. And you can find those picks at DraftKings. I know, because I looked at them myself. So many different ways, which is why, and I'll say it, C is just smarter than the rest of us. He just is. He just is. Now, a couple of things from the chat. Jay Butch says, it's one fell swoop and not swell swoop, right? I can't tell if I'm saying it wrong or if Coach said it wrong. Clearly, you're new to the brand. I'm never wrong. So that has to be right. And Lori, now Lori's been taking some shots at me lately. Oh, we all know where Coach is going, end quote. Rebecca says, you definitely like to rub it in. Rebecca, I thought you were my girl. What's going on with all these shots, Sia? It's almost as like if they like you more than me.
Well, I know Rebecca is in my corner. We have a history. Rebecca, the Pat McGee song, the reference. We go way back, but I'm glad Lori's in my corner too. This is great. This is good news. Thank you.
No, it's not good news at all.
It's good. Very good.
Speaking of good and very good, my head-to-head matchups last week were good. I hit three finishing positions, which we will get to, out of four. I had a fantastic week at the Open, so I encourage you all to tail all of my picks. Hideki over Sungjae. I would be glad to open this one up for a little discussion, Sia. You seem to love Sungjae all over your board today.
No, not enough. I think, in fact, Hideki was a potential outright for me, but I crossed him off because 16-1 wasn't rich enough for me. I like Hideki this week.
Okay. Even money over Sungjae. I just think Hideki, if you watched in the last three or four rounds, he's really starting to get his swing under control, and that pause at the top is almost gone. And I love that about his swing now. Ryan Fox, we talked about over Steven Yeager. Ryan Fox, one of these weeks, he's going to do it. Last week, he actually cashed for me. Because he shot a +7, I believe, the first round, battled back, made the cut, and then got it done over Corey Connors. Ludvig Åberg over Justin Thomas. This hurts my heart to do this. But JT just isn't playing good golf. When you have every other top player saying, ah, he'll get it back. Ah, it won't be long. That means he's not playing well. They're trying to be nice. So I'm going to take Ludvig Åberg, who did not make the trip last week, at even money over JT. Can you guys imagine? This kid was playing college golf 2 months ago. And he's even money with Justin Thomas. That's great. That shows you how bad JT's been playing. That's what it does.
Life comes at you fast.
It does. It certainly does. What movie is that from, Sia?
Ooh, I don't know, actually. I'm embarrassed.
Ferris Bueller's Day Off?
Oh, gosh. How did I not get that?
Wow.
I crumbled in the moment there.
Shocking. He's human. Shocking. He great is movie. Human, not a machine. All right, then Adam Hadwin, he played great at the Canadian Open. He's really starting to trend well. He made it into a playoff after that. So we're going to go over Gary Woodland again, minus 110. I'm getting really good numbers on these guys. And then somebody asked about Cam Young if we liked him. I said we'd talk about him. It's right here, right now. He's motivated. He played well yet again for the second year in a row at the Open Championship. He normally wouldn't have been here. Why is he here? Because his number is not high enough. He wants to win the FedEx Cup. To win the FedEx Cup, you need to have a high finish in the regular season. You can't start eight shots back of Scottie Scheffler. That's why Cam Young is here. It's also why Justin Thomas is here. Let's embrace having these stars in the field. Gentlemen, thank you very much. And the chat, keep them coming. Keep those questions coming. All right, now, We've done our head-to-heads. But I mentioned that last week I hit 3 out of 4 in this next section of the show. So let's go there right now. This is our finishing position. So for those of you wondering, we encourage you to lower your unit size or go 0.2, maybe 0.3, but not full units, because this is very, very volatile. And you can lose a top 20 on a Sunday very, very easily. So, Patrick, I'm going to start with – oh, wait. Okay. Can't go to Patrick. I'm coming to you. What do you got?
You really illustrated the volatility of the market really well, because I hit one of two top 40, top 30 picks last week. The one I missed was Wyndham Clark, who ended up 33rd instead of it was a top 30 pick for him. And that was just kind of a little bit of bad luck there in terms of how that worked out. But we're going to go with two top 30s here and one top 40. I don't need to get into the why here because we've talked about all of these guys. Sepp Straka -125. I think he's live to win this. So, of course, I like him at -125 at top 30. I had to put this number at like -145, -150. Lucas Glover at plus money to top 30. I think he's live to win as well at +110. And finally, top 40. I'm going to give Doug Gim a little bit more wiggle room because he is, you know, I expect him to do really well, but sometimes when I have that expectation, he falls a little bit short. So I think top 40 is just right for Doug Gim at -115.
And remember, if they make the cut and you have a top 40 play like Doug Gim, you only got to beat like 20 some dudes. So if they make the cut, then you're live for this top 40 play. I'll quickly go through I love Emiliano Grillo. I absolutely love how he's playing. He's very calm. He's very cool. He's very collected. +280 for a top 10. Love that number. 2 out of 3 top 10s the last 3 years at the 3M Open. Adam Hadwin, JT Poston, both playing really good golf. JT Poston, he gives you no emotion. But man, he's starting to trend in the right direction. I love those two numbers. And Peter Quest, a top 30. He had 2 really good weeks, T4, T17. Then he had a mixed cut. And then he had a tie for 59th last week. It means he's ready. It also means he likes playing in events with big stars. The stars are back. Peter Quest. Let's lock it in. Top 30 at +230. All right. Now, it's time to pick a winner, but not before. You guys know this. What is coming? What is next? At the company that we are so honored to work for, a little company we like to call CBS.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Which just happens to be your boy's birthday, August 12th. Don't wish me happy birthday now. Don't do it. Don't type it in the chat. Don't do it. We're 2 weeks away.
Happy 50th, Coach. Happy 50th.
50th? Who's going to be 50? Ouch.
No?
Try 46, 44, 42. Happy 50th. A couple of questions from the chat. First for Sia. Sia, you normally don't play finishing positions at minus value. Are you that confident in these players, or is it a byproduct of the field?
It's a byproduct of the field. I'm equally confident in all the picks, really, in the top 30, top 40 market week to week. The truth is, in the plus department, plus 105, plus 10, plus 110, and so on, there just wasn't a guy I was super confident in, so I had to dip into the minus number. But I'll tell you this, I'll never give you a top 30, top 40 at like minus 140, minus 150, because the market, like Coach said, is a little bit too volatile in that particular market. So if it's minus 125, that's probably going to be the limit for me, but I like all three of those plays.
Great advice. Patrick, let me come to you. Zach says, JT to miss the cut is plus 175. You have to play it until he gets his head back on straight. Do you agree with Zach?
Yeah, especially at a course like this where JT, I mean, throughout his career, the driver has been wayward, and you couple that with his poor iron play as of late, the putter looks in disarray. Plus 175, I think, is a great price for that.
I don't know that I've ever seen JT more lost than I saw him on Thursday last week. Give him credit for Friday, I guess, but it's hard to watch a player who's been so good for so many years. He's a major champion. He won a major championship in 2022. And this is how shooting in the 80s. Wow, it's hard to watch. It is hard to watch. So there's not too many people that believe JT will win this week. But who do we believe is going to get the job done? That's where we have arrived. Patrick, I'm coming to you first because I'm looking at least one name as I check my notes that I absolutely love this week. Start us off.
Interesting. I'm going to crash and burn with Aaron Rye this week at 45-1. And at that same number, Coach, I know you picked against him in a head-to-head matchup, but I do like Steven Yeager this week at 45-1. He had a disappointing start there at the Barracuda Championship. I think he was the most heavily bet on player there among the favorites. But before that, some really, really nice results. T13 at the John Deere Classic, T9 at the Rocket Mortgage, kind of similar fields. And he's top 25 in total strokes gained, tee to green, off the tee approach, and around the green over the last 3 months. He really has it all. And then JT Poston, 50-1. We're simpatico on this one, Coach. I know you had that position play on him. Mm-hmm. And he's quietly finding some form, had a really nice stint there over in the UK. He's 14th in total strokes gained over the last 3 months. T6 at the John Deere Classic and the Scottish Open, played well at the Open Championship. And JJ Spahn, 50-1. I'm going back to him. I think he's close. I just really think he's close to iron play, has looked sharp. He finally got a good result under his belt there at the Barracuda. And then Nikolai Højgaard, 55-1. All this Ryder Cup talk, he could quietly be a captain's pick there for Luke Donald. And his last three PGA Tour starts, T21 at the Rocket Mortgage Classic, T6 at the Scottish Open, T23 there at the Open Championship. He was in contention until a poor back nine there on Saturday. He's top 50 in each strokes gain metric over the last 3 months. The upside is there. We've seen this course crown young stars before. You think about Matthew Wolf in the first playing of this tournament against Colin Morikawa. So I do like Højgaard there at 55.
At least 10 Chick-fil-A nuggets of the day that I guarantee you, you did not know. Do you want to do the work? I didn't think so. Zach said early wedge is the truth. We agree, Zach. Thanks for joining us live. Now, I'm going to keep it very simple. The reason I'm doing that is I've got to see the start of this tournament. I got to see who has energy, who doesn't have energy. But Sepp Straka, I agree with C and everybody else. At plus 2,500, that's a sweet spot. If he has one more good week, he's going to be south of plus 2,000 for the rest of the season. Get this number while you can. And Emiliano Grillo, we told you on several occasions, 2 out of 3 years, he has finished inside the top 10. He could be live for the victory this week. See ya. Talk to me.
Yeah, let's go with Sepp Straka. We're simpatico here, I think. We were last week as well. We've been on Sepp Straka. I like him at plus 2,500. Lucas Glover's the next guy. Again, a guy who's finishing positions over the last three tournaments, top six or better. I mean, this guy is really closing tournaments, much in the same way that Sepp Straka has been. Granted, it's been different fields between the two, but Lucas Glover at 50-1. By the way, this is 45-1 at most places, but if you're a Sportsline member, you would have seen what I put out Monday night in the article section, which had Lucas Glover, who was still at 50-1 at that time. It was hours later that it switched in most books to 45-1. I still like it at 45-1. I'm just kind of pointing that out. Eric Cole at 50-1. So I do think Eric Cole could have a bad tournament, which is why you haven't really seen me tout him too much in the DFS market or, for example, in the head-to-head market. But we know he has the upside. We know when he gets the ball striking going, he can be elite, he can close on Sunday, and he can get a really hot putter. So I think from an outright perspective, 50-1 is good to speculate upon. I'd say the same about Taylor Pendrith, who seems to be finding the old ball striking form that he once had. And I think at 60-1, we're really early on Taylor Pendrith. That's where I prefer to be, rather than he strings another couple tournaments together and then all of a sudden that deflates to 35-1, 45-1.
That's very, very, very great advice. In the chat, I'll take this one. Brooke and Mary's vlogs says, what about Cameron Champ? He's a past winner. Keyword in that sentence, past, because his game has passed him by. I know that's a different past, but you get my point. Right now, he's not playing good golf. Right now, he struggles to make cuts. You got to play guys that have recent form. It's not just flip a switch and they're back at the place that they won 2 years ago or 3 years ago, and all of a sudden they're a favorite. A lot of new young players have come in the last 2 years. I don't like Cameron Champ, and clearly none of my guys like Cameron Champ this week. All right. We have reached that time of the show. And this is where we put a little bit of everything. You can have a big-time number. You can have a weird bet from DraftKings or FanDuel or whoever else, Caesars. But this is where we put it. Patrick McDonald, you have found, sir, a number that is large. And if it hits, boy, if people play it, they're going to be very, very happy. You're up.
I'm going to take a shot on Matthew Neesmith at 125-1. Back-to-back top 35 finishes. This is a guy who, when he's on, he's, you know, among the elite in terms of ball striking. And he still remains a very accurate driver. But the iron play is beginning to tick back. The iron play that Matthew Neesmith is capable of. Last 3 months, he is 17th tee to green, 27th off the tee, 25th in approach, and top 50 around the green. The putter can be a problem, but at 125-1, this is the type of profile, the type of player that I'm willing to take a shot on at such long odds.
I love Matthew Neesmith. He has all the qualities and all the skills to win this particular week. I decided to do another EC special because I know he's watching right now. By the way, hit the like button for me. Don't make Rick chastise you. I should have to say it every single show. Hit the like button. Put the chat back up and keep on talking amongst yourselves. But I love Cam Young. He's motivated. And JT Poston, he's been trending in the right direction. Both guys to finish inside the top five at plus 5,500. That's right. They don't got to win. We could have a 3-4, a 2-3, a 2-5. It doesn't matter. Put them two together, plus 5,500. And I love those two guys this week. I mean, love them this week. All right, see ya. Bring us home.
Let's do a long shot first round leader and winner. I'll start with the first round leader. And by the way, earlier in the show, I misspoke. Obviously, last week, what we tied with in the first round leader department, it wasn't Xander. It was Tommy Fleetwood. Xander was a different first round leader that we recently hit. And of course, Aaron Rye, we hit that. We've hit so many. Let's try to hit Chez Reavie at 90-1. I think Chez Reavie is a really good course fit. And don't forget, he's been pretty hot on approach with the putter. It's the exact type of ingredients we want in a first round leader. I don't think he can win it, but I will point this out. As a long shot winner, he's 110-1. I don't think that's outside the realm of possibility, but I prefer the first round leader market 90-1. And then we've talked about Doug Gim as a winner. I do think there is going to be a point where Doug Gim really stamps his name on the PGA Tour. And this would be the type of tournament where he could do it. So at 80-1, I'm definitely willing to speculate as my fifth guy in, Doug Gim.
I'm telling you, this is going to be the type of week. And for those of you who love to do head-to-heads, I love betting in golf tournaments where there's volatility, where there is danger, where you can have a double bogey out there. This is one of those weeks. There is water everywhere on this course. It's volatile. All right, you guys like to know, or you know we like to end every one of our shows asking my experts, what's the number one most important thing you're looking forward to for this week's event? You can use it for this week or use it in the future. Patrick, start with you. What do you like?
I think Cameron Young is a very interesting play this week. He's obviously the favorite in terms of betting. And ever since he switched his golf ball to the same golf ball that he used last year, he's had that finish at the John Deere Classic and then was a member of that final pair at the Open. And not only is he looking for a positioning coach in the FedEx Cup playoffs, but he's looking to secure a spot on the U.S. Ryder Cup team. The back end of that U.S. Ryder Cup team has kind of fallen off a little bit, and I think there's some concern there. And if Cameron Young can string together a couple more quality starts from tee to green like he has been doing the last couple weeks, I think he will be a confirmed player there in Rome.
Isn't it interesting for this entire last 2 years, Patrick, all anybody's been talking about, oh, the United States is going to be dominant when they go overseas. But now, guys like Sepp Straka, other guys that could be on the European Ryder Cup team, it's not such a landslide anymore. And JT, he's been awesome the last couple of Ryder Cups. He's not in form. It's not just a slam dunk. Love that storyline to look forward to this week. Counselor, what about you?
So I'll tell you what, we've had, you know, obviously every show, we each have some outrights, and there would be a lot to bet if you were to bet all of them. And so what I want to recommend is obviously, I don't think everybody bets all of the outrights. I would, whether you do or not, I would recommend maybe holding a little bit back for a live bet, because what Coach just said about the volatility of this course, I think it's a really great opportunity to catch a really good player. Let's say Thursday isn't the best day for Sepp Straka or Emiliano Grillo or whoever you like in this tournament, and all of a sudden they get moved from 25 to 1 to 70 to 1. I think it's a really good opportunity, knowing that there are so many pitfalls with the water, especially if the guys at the top are volatile golfers themselves. I would reserve a little bit for a live bet either Thursday night or Friday night.
And I will back that up by saying this could be a chance on Sunday to get a really big number for a really big comeback. What do I mean by this? Last year, Tony Finau was down, let me check my notes, 5 shots with 11 holes to play. Now, on Sunday, we talk about it all the time on the Early Edge, that you can get a guy that's 6-7 shots back and get a really big number. So whether it's Thursday or Friday, like Sia said, or Sunday because of what happened a year ago, this is the week to really pay attention and follow all of my guys on social media. All right, do not forget, coming up, if you're watching us live, in 20 minutes, I will be on Early Edge in 5. Just got to mess with EC just a little bit today as we get set for another 3M Open. A full slate of baseball games tonight. We'll get you set for there. All the best bets. Also a full night of soccer as well for those of you who love Galazzo. But right here, right now, with all of that being said, there's only one thing left to do, and I believe you all know what that is. You've got your marching orders. Let's take all of these tickets straight to the pay window. For my entire Kurt Lobo, Patrick McDonald, the counselor, the snake always on the ones and twos, making this show look phenomenal. I am simply the coach, trying to keep this train on said track. We grind for you so we can win with you. It's what we're all about at the Early Edge, but also right here at the Early Wedge. Good luck.
CBS Tonight, TV's hottest show is Fire Country.
I'm not a hero. I'm in orange for a reason.
They're taking 12 months off your sentence. You're free.
Lady.
With a special epic season finale.
Now that I'm out, I need something to get me up in the morning.
You are a firefighter.
Used to be.
That will be unforgettable.
In the name of your life's happiness, go get your girl.
She's getting married tomorrow.
Says, when do you let anything get in the way of what you want?
The Fire Country season finale, tonight, 9, 8 central on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.